we find written in the Bible. Stories, words to challenge, to encourage, but above all to discover more about your great love for us. Enable us now and in the days ahead to trust you and to be open to your Spirit to challenge and to encourage us. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Interesting readings. And apart from that man in the reading from Mark's Gospel, it's all about having to trust and allow God to work in our lives. And even for that man, at some point, we don't know what happened to him, but he realised there was more to following Christ than just keeping the commandments. I don't know how many of you have read the book of Job. I would guess some of you might have started. One or two of us might have managed it all, once or twice. But others of us might know one or two passages from it. But in it, Job, a faithful man of God, a man of integrity, a man who knew he was walking in God's steps, his life was suddenly changed. Everything that he had went. And he couldn't quite understand it all. It was a challenge to him to carry on talking to God, seeking him, living a faithful life. But God didn't seem to be anywhere. And I don't know whether you've had that experience in your life, but times when, however much you pray, however much you worship God, you just sense he just doesn't seem to be there or close to you. Some people describe it as a desert period. And it's sometimes that case of hanging on in there because God is there. And I wonder how many of us, like Job, would share what's gone on with his friends. But I'm not quite sure how helpful his friends were, because they couldn't see beyond what was on the surface. But if Job had lost everything, but actually, he could be very righteous. He must have done something wrong. So if you ever get the opportunity, do read some of those conversations and note how faithful Job was to God and how he was sure of what he believed and knew of God. Even despite what his friends and his wife were saying. And I know many, many years ago when I read about the first time I read Job, I thought about the friends, I thought, oh, that makes sense. And it took me a long time to get my head around it. But Job's question was, where is God in this mess? Where is God in my situation now? And that's one of the questions I think we need to think about for ourselves and for our church. Where is God? Where is God in my life, your life? Where is God in the life of the church? In our own lives is something we can probably tease through by ourselves, but occasionally it's not to speak to others. In the life of the church, I wonder how many times we actually talk about the spiritual life of this church with one another. It's not something we do very often, is it? Because most of us are still quite shy about speaking about our own spiritual Christian lives. And for that man in the reading from Mark, the heading is described as the richer and ruler, simply because Matthew's Gospel, I think it is, describes him as rich and Luke's Gospel as ruler. And yeah, but we don't know. All Mark says, he was a man who ran up and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And I just love it that Jesus really mentioned all, if you like, the negative commandments, some of the last six. And that man, like Job, could say, "Well, I've kept them all. I'm okay." And I guess that's true of us, isn't it? Well, hopefully. But I honestly don't know, because some of you don't know quite well. And I don't know, I would say it's true of me, but again, you might challenge that when you get to know me. Not murder, not commit adultery, not steal, not give false testimony. Honour father and mother. And there's one in there that's not in the Ten Commandments, but is mentioned elsewhere in Leviticus. Do not defraud. And that's a lovely one. But it's so easy to say we're okay, isn't it? It's okay to think we're doing everything right. We're being nice to people. We're coming to church to worship. But the next thing, after asking where is God, is where is he challenging me? Where is he challenging the church? And that's where that reading from Hebrews came in, because Jesus' word of God is described as a sharp-edged sword piercing through. And Jesus, talking to this young man, went to the nub of what was preventing him from thoroughly following and loving God. He said, "One thing you lack, go and sell everything and give to the poor. You'll then have treasure in heaven, then come follow me." And the man's face of the toll fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. But what we're not told anywhere is whether at any time later he responded or not. But I think it's about the only occasion where we're told that Jesus looked at somebody and loved them. And Jesus looks at each one of us, both as individuals and as part of the body of his church, and says he loves us. But then, every so often, he will point to something in my life, in your life, in the life of the church, that is preventing me, you, the church, from really being there and shining the light for Christ. And that question mark is always, what is that thing? And how do we respond? For us, it might not be wealth. It might be other things. If we're hooked on computer games, you know how it is, or jigsaw puzzles. You sort of think, one more game, one more piece in the puzzle, one more chapter in a book. And it's those things that sometimes that pushes our relationship with Christ to one side. It might be the fact that we don't go out of our way for other people. It might be the fact that we enjoy the roles that we play and don't always recognise the prompting when God is trying to move us on, or the prompting when God wants us to do something. And that is something that each of us needs to answer. And as a church, we need to begin to answer that. And no doubt we will in the days ahead, particularly when John's in post. Where is he challenging me? Where is he challenging you? Where is he challenging us? And all this really frightened the disciples. They thought, what hope is there for me? What hope is there for us? Look, we've done all this. We've left everything. We've followed you. We've given up everything. But there doesn't appear to be any hope for us. But Jesus says that as you give everything to God, it doesn't necessarily mean we have to give up any money or wealth we have, or property or goods. A lot of it's about how we use them so that Christ comes first. Then we're going to be rewarded, both in this life and in the life ahead. We don't know how, but in some way. But the one thing that is added in that reading, after the list of what we'll have, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, it says, along with persecutions. And that's one thing the Bible is very much about, and Jesus is very much about saying. He's absolutely honest. He is not saying that everything's hunky-dory, if you follow me. He's saying there's going to be tough times. And it also raises another question, as well as where is God and what's he challenging me to, is what is my image of God? I've been trying to work out how to put this in, but it's a story that was slightly undercover a couple of weeks ago, but it's now come to the fore. The petrol shortage. I just love it. You might have heard it. When so many places didn't have fuel, and there's this story of this tanker driver who was driving, I think it was between Wolverhampton and somewhere else, about 70 miles away, and as he was approaching his destination, he realised there's a whole pile of cars following him. And he got there, got down, and the people in the cars behind suddenly realised that he couldn't possibly have any pet fuel in the tanker because of the building site. It was actually full of cement. And apparently what the driver of the first car said, came up and said to him, "You could have told us." I just appealed to me. And it's that image, isn't it? A whole pile of people following a tanker for 70 miles. They're short of petrol. And I was just sort of thinking, yeah, that can be true of me. What is my image of God? Is it somebody there who's going to provide everything and I just follow? I follow what other people say and it's not quite right. But we need to know our God. We need to know Jesus. So the question mark for each of us and for the church is, where is God in our lives and the life of the church? Where is he challenging me? Where is he challenging you? Where is he challenging us? And the last question is very much, what am I going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? And sometimes it takes time for us to be able to do that last bit, to act on what God is prompting us to do. Particularly if we're struggling at the moment to even think about where is God. Job says he looks to the north, east, west, south, but he can't sense God or see him. And I have certainly been in that sort of situation where, however hard I try, I just can't sense God in my life. But I have to hang on to what I know, that God is love, God is faithful, and he's there for me, even when I can't always sense him. And I need to continue to follow him faithfully. But recognising, as Jesus said, that it's not always going to be hunky-dory. There will be times when we struggle, but we know that he is faithful and he will never let us go. But each of us now walk with him needs to take the next step in some way, somehow. And so may God just speak to each of us, not only challenging, but encouraging us as we seek to find him in our day-to-day life. Amen.
Amen.